This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Yevamos, tape number 3.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Rabbi Yaakov ben Avram Osher Makovsky, Zichrono Vracha. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
This tape is in Masechta Yevamos, and we're beginning from the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amar Aleph. The Mishnah says that if you had three brothers, two of those three brothers married two sisters, and brother number three married a stranger, so then if one brother dies, so the one who married the stranger made Yibum, and then the second brother dies. So although there's no Achais Ishtai now, but since there was once a period of Achais Ishtai, the last brother cannot marry her. And the Gemara says, any woman that if at one point she was ineligible to be called upon for Yibum, because she was an Erva, she is now Pasul for Yibum or Chalitza to the Yavam, even if she isn't an Erva right now, since the sister died. But since at one point she was an Erva, then since at that point she was an Erva, she's not allowed to marry now either. The Gemara says there is a Shaychus that one woman can have Zika to two men. And according to Beis Shammai, Maimer creates a Kinyan Gomer Midaraisa, but according to the Beis Hillel, it's only a Kinyan Midrabanan. The next Mishnah. All Arayas, which we talked about on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, if one of them was married to the mace at the time of death, the tsaras have no din of yibum. If the original kedushin was a suffix, or there was a get suffix, midaraisa, the tsaras can have yibum, or chalitza. But midarabanan, we say they only do chalitza since it's a suffix. The Mishnah then says, suffix get, what is that exactly? That's if, for example, it doesn't have a date on it, or if it's only one signature. Suffix kedushin is if he threw her a shtar kedushin, and it's now Safek Karav Loi, Safek Karav La. And the Gemara says, we say that a woman has a Cheskas Heter L'shuk. Daf Lamed Aleph. If a house falls on top of a man and his niece, who is, of course, his brother's Erva, so we have a question at this point, who died first? We don't know if the man died or his niece died. So we say, Chaletzes V'loi Misyabemes. In a case of Safek Karav La, Safek Karav Loi by a get, if the husband is a Kayin, he cannot remarry her since he cannot marry a grusha or a suffix grusha. The Gemara says, even in a case, midaraisa, we sometimes use a chazaka against the word of two edim, as we learned from Barshatya, who sometimes lost his mind. So when he supposedly sold land, it was given back to him because of the chazaka that he's a shaita. So the sale wasn't chal at all, even with the edim who said that it was. Because he was a shaita, it's very possible that the kinyan did not actually happen. The Gemara says that a shtar kedushin does not need a date, even midrabanan. Two reasons why that's so. Number one, by get, the date protects her nichse malug, but by kedushin, this doesn't apply, since an arusa owns no peris. And reason number two is because a get, we need a date, mishum basa chayse, but this doesn't apply to kedushin. The Gemara then gives a third teretz, which is the main teretz. Since kedushin has other means, we know kedushin can be done also with kesef or bia, we don't need a date by shtar either. Once you don't need a date by kesef or bia, which obviously you can't do, you don't need a date by shtar. Mashen kein by get, since the only way to do a get is with a shtar. So the shtar could be used unfairly. Therefore, we put a date on it. And finally, the Gemara says, women do not play around or alter their gittin, since their only source, their only proof of divorce. Therefore, they keep it very, very carefully and don't want to make any changes on it, because otherwise they'll have no proof anymore if it was tampered with. The Mishnah. The chiyuv of yibum only applies if there is zika to one man, not if zika exists for a woman to two men. Daf Lamed Beis. Once a person gives maimer, he can't make yibum, since kivan shalei bana, shuv la yivna. Once he didn't take the opportunity to do it originally, then he can't be yivna, he can't do yibum anymore later on. The Mishnah. Two brothers married two sisters, and one brother dies, so the wife falls to the one surviving brother, so now it's ervas achais ishtai. Then this sister dies, so it should be mutter, since erva is gone. No, the Mishnah says, this is not true. Since she was usser for shah achas, she remains usser forever. The Gemara. Once one isser erva exists, a second isser cannot be chal on top of it, since we say, ein isser chal al isser. And according to the Tanakhama, we give him the misa chamura. According to Rabbi Yossi, we give him the misa on the erva, which was chal first. The nafkamina, if a person has one misa or two misas that he's technically destined for, is which part of the cemetery we bury him in. If a person is mechuyev on a larger misas bezdin versus a smaller one, then we bury him separately from other people in the cemetery. And finally, the Gemara says a zar, A zohar is a person who is not a kohen, who did avoda on Shabbos, so he now has two misas. One misa for doing avoda, for being a zohar and doing avoda, and one misa for doing avoda, work on Shabbos. Reb Chiya says he's chayev two misas. But Bar Kapara says he's only chayev for the isur of zohar. Daf Lamed Gimel. As we mentioned, normally we say that by two isurim, if a person does two different isurim, we say he's only mechuyev for one of them, because we say ein isur chal al isur. But in certain cases, we make exceptions to this rule. According to Reb Chiya, the opinion of Reb Yaisi is, when a second isur is an isur kailal, then it is chal on the first isur. But according to Bar Kapara, if the second isur is an isur kailal, but not an isur maisif, it is not chal on the second isur, i.e. in addition to the first isur. It's interesting that when I was learning this daf, I was on a business trip while sitting on a TWA flight to Denver, and I was having a very hard time understanding the concept of isur maisif, isur kailal. But coincidentally, fortunately, there were two from people who were sitting right next to me, one on my right and one on my left, and they were able to help explain this pshat, what the difference is between these two. The basic difference between isur kailal and isur maisif is as follows. We know that the general rule, as we've mentioned, is ein isur chal al isur. Once you're mechuyev for one isur, you can't be mechuyev for an additional isur on top of the first one. However, al pi de rabbanan, there are certain instances where you would say that you would be mechuyev for both. One of these times is when you have an isur maisif. A good example of this is by almana l'kayin gadol. A kayin gadol, we know, is not allowed to marry an almana. If he does, he's over an isur. But let's say she's also a grusha also. It was not only is she an almana, but she's a grusha too. So now we have two isurim. Number one, the isur of almana l'kayin gadol. And number two, the isur of grusha l'kayin gadol. Since the grusha is an isur that is maisif extra people versus the isur almana, we know that an almana is only asur l'kayin gadol. But a grusha is asur to all kayanim. So since it is maisif, additional people, mem, if you want a way to remember maisif, maisif is mention, additional people, then it gets added on to the first isur of almana l'kayin gadol. So this kayin gadol is over on two isurim. One, the isur of marrying an almana, and two, the isur of marrying a grusha. An isur kailo is an additional time when we do not invoke the rule of ein isur chal al isur, and one can be mechuyev for two isurim. A good example of this is when one eats nevela on Yom Kippur. If one eats nevela stam, then he's over on an isur for that. But if he eats nevela on Yom Kippur has with it a broad isur that includes not being able to eat any food. Not a person can't eat nevela, he can't eat potatoes, or he can't drink Coca-Cola. So since a person cannot eat any food on Yom Kippur, it's kailal everything, including all of these things. Hence, since the new isur is kailal many different things, it gets added to the first isur, and he would be mechuyev for both nevela and achila on Yom Kippur. That's what we have, these two exceptions. There are a number of other exceptions, but these are the two famous exceptions discussed here in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, if two Yisurim occur exactly bevasachas at the same time, according to Reb Chiya, he's chayev for both. According to Bar Kapara, he's only chayev for the Yisur Chamor, not the Yisur Kal. If the Yisurim are zeh achar zeh, according to Reb Yaisi, you may be chayev for both, but according to Reb Shimon, you're only chayev for one Yisur. According to Reb Yaisi, the reason the Torah singles out Havara, we know that all the malachas that are mentioned in the Torah are not specifically mentioned by name. However, Havara specifically is mentioned. Why is Havara special? So he holds because Havara is lalav yatzis. All of the other malachas have a chiyav misa, while Havara just has a lav. That's the specialty about Havara. That's why it mentions it specifically. So a zar that did avoda on Shabbos should really be pater from a lav or from a chatas because it was done b'shaygi. The Gemara says that the blood in the Beis HaMikdash is mukta. This is referring to the case specifically of Zar Shashimesh B'Shabbos. And the Shar HaMelech asks, why should it be Muktzah to a Zar? We know that the dam is mutter for Kohanim to touch on Shabbos, since they need it for the Avodah. If so, we know the rule of Muktzah is that once it's mutter l'taltel for one person, then it's mutter l'taltel for everyone. As we see in the Gemara Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis, a woman is allowed to be metaltel a lulav on Yontif, even though she has no chi of lulav, and it should really be aser because what is she in the lulav for? But since tilt of lulav is mutter for men on yontif, it becomes mutter for women also on yontif, even though they really have no use for it, since it's a mitzvah to say shazman gram, and a woman is not mechuyev in lulav. The Mishnah. Two men married two women. There was now erusin. Now you have an isur of eshes ish, one to the other. And when they now went to do chuppah, to do nisuin, they exchanged women. One married the other one's person that they had done erusin to. So we say that they're over on four isurim. Number one, eshes ish. Number two, Eishas Ach, if they were sisters that were married. Number three, Isha Al Achaisa. And number four, Nida, if they were Nidas. So once the Bia Asura happened, if one has a child, the child becomes a mamzer. So now what do we have to do? We have to wait 3 months, normally speaking, if this particular thing happened, to confirm if they get pregnant. This is called havchana. We wait and see if they become pregnant or not, so we'll be able to know where the bia came from, if it was from the first person or from the second person who they married later on. If the women were kahanas and this situation happened, then they're pasul litruma. Daf lamed dalet. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah who says Isser Maisif and Isser Kailal can be chal on a second Isser? There it is. Gemara says, Rameir from his famous case of Tomei she'achal chelev v'hu naiser b'yayim ha-kippurim. But if it was Shabbos and he carried it, he's chayev for haitzah b'Shabbos also. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yeshua, if a person set out to do a mitzvah, like here he set out to do Kiddushin, and he accidentally did an Aveira, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, he's Potter. But according to Rabbi Elazar, he's chayev, since we say Tav b'dvar mitzvah. As we learned by the mistaken baby who had a milah on Shabbos when he wasn't supposed to. We learn this is the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuf Lamed Zayin. So here, Rameir holds like Rebbe Elazar. Our Mishnah, the Gemara says, R.E. regarding waiting 3 months, cannot be talking about the first bia, since a woman cannot become pregnant from the first bia she experiences. The Gemara says that although women become tame when a woman has bia, he becomes tame because of keri, and she becomes tame because of the bia. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a kala does not become tame from her first bia. According to the Chachamim, she does. If a woman is married and then loses her husband, if she doesn't remarry within 10 years, it's hard then to have children. And finally, the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, all Jewish women must wait 3 months before remarrying, except for a geyeris and a ketana mishuchreris. Daf lamed hei. Znus is not something which is common amongst ketanim, something which is leishchiach. According to Rabbi Yaisi, a woman who is a mezana uses a maich in order to prevent herself from becoming pregnant. Finally, the Gemara says, normally, if a woman is mezana b'mezid, she becomes usher to her husband. If it's b'shaigig, she remains mutter to her husband. Masha'en kein regarding kahuna, bein b'shaigig, bein b'mezid, if there's nus, she's nifsala min ha-kahuna, i.e., if her husband dies, she cannot marry a kohen. This marks the end of the third perek. Now let us begin the fourth perek, Perek HaChelitz Liavimtoi. Background. Normally, we wait 3 months to do chalitza or yibum to see if, in fact, the woman becomes pregnant. Since if she has a child, then there's no mitzvah of yibum at all, because we know that the mitzvah of yibum only applies if she did not have a child, and the Mishnah says. Let's say the person did not wait 3 months, but he did chalitza immediately, and then she gave birth to a child, and the child lived. So it's like the chalitza was not valid. In fact, the chalitza wasn't needed at all because she had a child. So we can marry her relatives, and vice versa, she is mutter to a kain. Normally we know that a kain cannot marry a grusha and a chalutza, but here, since the chalitza was never needed, then that's mutter. But if the child dies, the child is a nefel, it's like the brother did not leave a child, and the chalitza is chal. So now he becomes usher to marry her relatives, and vice versa, and she is pasul kahuna, because this whole thing was chal, because it was necessary. What if he did yibam before the 3 months? So if she has a child, he must send her away, since she's an erva, say shesach, when no yibam is required. And the Gemara says, if he gave chalitza, and there was a child, and the child dies, so does he have to give a new second chalitza or not? According to Rabbi Yechanan, the answer is no, but according to Reish Lakish, he does. Daf lamed vav. Kolo oile leyibam oile lechalitza, v'kol she'eino oile leyibam eino oile lechalitza, this famous rule that we've had a number of times before. The Gemara says a child does not pater a zika until it is actually born. The Gemara brings a raya to the shita of Reish Lakish, that if someone gave chalitza to a pregnant woman and then she miscarried, in order for her to be mutaris l'shuk, she now needs a new chalitza, since we say chalitza meuberes loishma chalitza. Rava says we paskin like Reish Lakish here. Although the general rule is that we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan, when there's a machlekes between Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish, but in three places we paskin like Reish Lakish and not like Rabbi Yechanan. Number one here, the case of chalitza meuberes. Number two, the Gemara in Baba Basra, that a father who divides up Yerusha not in the normal way, the way the Torah lays it out, so we say lahachmer. And number three, hakaisev kol nechasev livnai la'achar maiseh. The Gemara says the Rabbanan sometimes gave bigger knasim for being over Isurim de Rabbanan versus Isurim de Araisa to keep people from treating them lightly. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, if a child lived more than 30 days, then he's considered a valid child and he's not a nafil. If it dies before 30 days, it's a Suffolk Nathal, or a Vlad Kayama. If she now got married to someone else, so that was now Yibum, it's an issue, since the child is a Suffolk Nathal. If a man she married was Yisrael, so she takes Chalitza. If he's a Kayan, we don't make Chalitza. Otherwise she's stuck, because a Kayan cannot marry a Chalitza, so they'll never be able to remarry. Daf Lamed Zayin. Havchana requires one to wait 3 months before remarrying. What if a man married her within 3 months, and he then ran away? So since he ran away, it's like he gave her a get, and we do not force him to give her another get. The Gemara says most women give birth after 9 months, but some have children after 7 months. But virtually all who have a child after 9 months, her pregnancy is recognizable after 3 months. According to Rabbi Elazar, a Vadei Mamzer is allowed to marry a Mamzeres, but a Suffolk Mamzer cannot marry a Mamzeres, since he may be Kasher, and he can't marry a Kshera, since he may be a Mamzer. And a Shtuki, a Sufi, and Kusi are considered Suffolk Mamzerim. But according to Hillel, a Suffolk Mamzer can marry another Mamzeres. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds the Halacha is like Hillel, and we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, since he is only found in a few places, but in the places that he did talk, he was Kav Venaki. That's why we generally paskin like him. The Gemara says one should not engage in marital relations that could cause children to be born who don't know who their siblings are, because then these brothers will marry sisters, and umalaya ha'aretz zima. Things will be bad because nobody's going to know who's who, and nobody's going to know who's brothers or sisters. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that a person is not allowed to marry a woman with a specific intention of divorcing her, since she'll falsely have a feeling of financial security. If we had a person who did Yibam, and a person who is the Suffolk son of the Yavam, so the Yerusha of the Mace is considered a Suffolk, so these Nechasim are split in half. And finally, Gemara says if a person went away and couldn't remember which field belongs to him, Admoin holds he gets some land, but the Chachamim say he gets nothing, since we say HaMotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya, Taf Lamed Ches. The Mishnah. A Shameres Yavam, her husband died and she's waiting for the brother to do Yibam, that's what a Shameres Yavam is, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say she can sell her Nechasim, since she owns them right now. And the Gemara says, Ula says Zika creates a situation of a Suffolk relationship or a Suffolk Erison. That's why the Shameres Yavam has the right to sell her Nichsei Malug in the Reisha of the Mishnah. The Gemara says if there is a Nechasim claim that is Vadei and one which is Suffolk, the Vadei gets it, because we say Ein Suffolk Maitzi Midei Vadei. And finally, the Gemara says that a Shtar of Ksuva, which a person has, is as strong as actually collecting the money, since we say Shtar Ha'aymed Ligvais Kigavoi Dami. Taflamates. The reason we give a ksuva to a woman is to prevent a husband from divorcing his wife at a whim. Kedei shaloi tehei kala be'eneha lahitzia. The Mishnah. The mitzvah of Yibum is first for the oldest brother to do the mitzvah. If the oldest brother does not want to do the mitzvah, then we go to brother number two to do the mitzvah. And if he doesn't want, we go to brother number three, and so on and so forth. If no one wants to do the mitzvah of Yibum, we go back to brother number one to do chalitza. If the oldest is not available, for example, he's overseas, then we don't wait, but we have a younger brother do the mitzvah of chalitza, since we cannot delay doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah loy mashina. In the pamphlet Al Hadaf, it is brought down that in a case where there are several yavamim, as we have here, the Mishnah says that the primary obligation, the mitzvah min hamufchar of yivam and chalitza, is incumbent upon the oldest brother. However, if the oldest brother is not available, as we said, the yivam or chalitza should not be delayed until the older brother returns. Rather, the obligation is placed upon the younger brother. The Gemara comes to explain that this halacha is based on the principle of kol shehavi mitzvah le'mashina, meaning that the one should not postpone a mitzvah, which is chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, beloved as a mitzvah performed in its proper time. The Magen Avraham points out that although waiting for the older brother would facilitate the performance of the mitzvah in a preferred manner, nevertheless the halacha is not to lay the mitzvah. He deduces from this that as a general rule, the principle of not postponing a mitzvah, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, overrides the importance of doing a mitzvah in a superior manner. Overrides the importance of doing a mitzvah min hamufchar. The Vilna Gaon rules that the mitzvah of Kiddush Lavana should be performed at the earliest possible time, i.e. 3 days after the Maalid, and should not be postponed to the more preferred time, i.e. Motzoi Shabbos, when we would say mitzvah min hamufchar, because we're saying it while we're adorned in the clothing from Shabbos, or later than 7 days after the Maalid, when the moon is larger and nicer and looks more well-lit, and is considered a mitzvah min hamufchar. His reasoning is that we say chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. That takes precedence over mitzvah min hamufchar, as it's indicated in our Gemara. However, the Trumas Hadesha, he disagrees. He explains that the only reason why the mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza is not delayed in order to fulfill the mitzvah min hamufchar with the return of the older brother is because delaying would entail a possibility of foregoing the mitzvah altogether. I.e. the wait is for an indefinite period of time, and something may occur in the interim, and then they won't be able to do the mitzvah. Thus, he says, as a general rule, a mitzvah may be postponed for the purpose of mitzvah min ha-mufchar, as long as there is no danger of foregoing the entire mitzvah. Hence, he is of the opinion that the Kiddush Levana should be postponed until Motzoi Shabbos, as long as it is before the 10th of the month. Later than that, however, it should not be delayed, because there's a risk of missing the entire mitzvah, since Kiddush Levana can only be performed until the 15th of the month. And there can be several cloudy days in a row when the moon is invisible, therefore, before the 10th, we wait till Motzoi Shabbos. After the 10th, however, we do it immediately. The Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, Simen Tov Chof Vav, does not limit the postponement from Motzoi Shabbos only until the 10th day, thus implying that Kiddush Levana should always be postponed until the preferred time of Motzoi Shabbos. This indicates that he is of the opinion that Mitzvah Min HaMufchar has precedence over Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita, which seems contrary to the principle deduced in our Gemara. And this is, of course, we always do it on Motzoi Shabbos, if at all possible. The Gemara says that in earlier generations it was better to do Yibam and not to do Chalitza, since people had the proper Kavana then. But today we say, Mitzvah Chalitza Kaidemes, since if one doesn't have the proper Kavana, he could sort of be over the Erva of Eshesach. The Gemara says that the Mitzvah of Chalitza is done via the woman spitting onto the ground in front of the man, so Bezdin can see it. If a person makes Yibam not for the mitzvah, but because the woman is beautiful, or she's rich, according to Abishal, it's Pegea Be'erva, and it's Karev Lamamzer. But according to the Chachamim, even not Lishma, it's okay, because you don't need Yibam Lishma. Dafmem. If a person is already full of food, and he stuffs himself even more on Yom Kippur, it's an Achila Gasa, he's Pater from eating on Yom Kippur, since eating Achila Gasa is not considered eating. The next Mishnah. The order of Yerusha is, number one, a son gets it first. So when the father is nifter, the first person who yarshins is the son. If there is no son, then the father yarshins, the father of the person who is nifter. And the third person in order who gets it, the order, would be brothers. But if one makes Yibam, then he has Kadima for the Yerusha before the father. If he makes Chalitza, though, he becomes like a regular brother, and the father has the first Zuchus to the Yerusha. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, no matter what the father does, no matter what happens here, the father always has kadima, even with someone, even ahead of someone who did Yiva. The Gemara says, generally speaking, a father is an heir to inheriting Yerusha from a son before the brothers are. The next Mishnah. Someone who makes Chalitza, we consider it midrabanan, sort of like a wife, so he's usher in her relatives, and she's usher in his relatives. But a man may marry the relatives of the tzara of the Chalitza. The Gemara. We are geyser on Shnius by Chalitza, just as distant relatives, which are only usur midrabanan, are usur in relation to an erva midaraisa, so too when a person does chalitza, he's also usur to be involved with this isure derabanan, i.e. shnias. Shmuel says that if a person has relations with a tsaras chalitza, the child is a mamzer. Reish Lakish says, once one brother gives chalitza to the yavam, all tsaras and relatives of that woman are mutter to all brothers. Since he was a shliach to remove the isur of eishes ach, he was a shliach for everyone. Therefore, she becomes mutter. Tachmemalaf, the Mishnah. It is usher to do chalitza to achais chalutzase, midrabanan, i.e., once he does chalitza to one woman, he can't do yibam to any other sister, but only he can do chalitza. Mashain kain achais grushase, which is usher minatera, he doesn't do yibam or chalitza. And the Gemara says, if a man goes back and remarried his divorcee, we know that this is mutter up until the point that she marries someone else. However, once she marries someone else, he cannot remarry her. But if she didn't marry someone else, then he could remarry her. So he did that here. So he was machzir grushase, as this is called. And then he died, and she falls to Yibam, to his brother. According to the Chachamim, he can make Yibam. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, he does not make Yibam. Since we say, Nasra Eilamis, Kivin she Nasra Sha'achas, Nasra Eilamis. When they were divorced, she was Eishas Achiv, so it was usher to make Yibam. Now it remains usher to do Yibam. The Mishnah. All women must wait 3 months from the time of death of their husband or divorce of a husband before they remarry, since we don't want to mix up who the father of the child is, i.e. if he was born 7 months later, we don't know if he's the 7th month child of the second husband or the 9th month child of the first husband. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this chumrah only applies where there was nesuin, not erusin, since by erusin there's no possibility of mixing it up, since there was no bia by erusin. Therefore, we don't have this question about which where the child came from the first one or from the second one, because there was no bia from the first one in the first place. And the Gemara says, we say the famous cloud called the Gemara says, even a katana who couldn't possibly become pregnant, if she loses her husband, she still must wait 3 months before remarrying, since this takanas chachamim applies in all cases, that she can't make yibum or chalitza either in that particular situation. The first 3 months after the death of a husband, a woman is still supported from the estate of her husband. After that, she is not. If a man writes a get to a woman, it's a machlekes from when we begin counting the 3 months that she has to wait before remarrying. Rav says we wait 3 months from the shas nesina, from the time that it was given. And Shmuel says we wait 3 months from the shas ksiva, from the 3 months from the time that the get was written. The Gemara says that the 3 month wait rule applies to everyone, even a ger, because we're afraid of arayas, and we want to also protect the child. So the Gemara asks, so why don't we simply check the woman to see if she's pregnant or not? We can see if she's pregnant or not. Our answer is we're not baidik a woman who is married, since we say if we do that, shema tiskana al baila. She could become miyus to her husband once you go and check her. The Gemara says they were geyser alay plug, that all women must wait 3 months before remarrying. So it doesn't matter what the situation was, we always wait 3 months. And finally, the Gemara says that first we have a machlaikis, then we have a stam mishnah. We paskin like the stam mishnah. But if we have a stam mishnah, then a machlaikis, we don't paskin like the stam mishnah. Although there must be a 3 month gap between marriages, many hold that Erusin can be done before the 3 months end. The week before Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says, there is an Isser to wash clothes and to cut hair, but Erusin may be mutter. Of course, Nisuin is Asur. Reb Chiya learned that an Arusa is not Mechuyev in Avelus if her husband dies. Consequently, if she dies, a husband who is a Kayin cannot become Tame for her. The Gemara says from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, one cannot do construction or do things of happiness. The week of Tisha B'Av itself, which we call Shavua Shechalboi, one cannot take a haircut or wash clothing. And when we say Shavua Shechalboi, that means, for example, if Tisha B'Av is on a Thursday, Shavua Shechalboi would be the Sunday beforehand until that Thursday. The Rush and the Ran discuss the situation where Tisha B'Av occurs on Shabbos itself, which means it's a nidcha, we don't actually fast until Sunday, like this year, Tavshin Nun Beis. They quote the Talmud Yerushalmi that maintains that in such a case, these restrictions do not apply at all in a year like that. The reason is, since actually Tisha B'Av is observed on Sunday, therefore the previous week is not considered as the week of Tisha B'Av at all. The Smag, however, says that it is the custom to observe the week before as the week of Tisha B'Av. In other words, the week before Tisha B'Av is the Shavua Shechalboi. Except on Thursday and Friday, when due to Kavod Shabbos, these restrictions are lifted. This discussion, however, is only of relevance to the Svardim, because the Rama says that the prevailing custom for the Ashkenazim is to observe these restrictions, not doing laundry, not eating fleishig, for example, starting from Rosh Chodesh Av, is what we call the 9 days. Accordingly, there's no difference between what day of the week the Tisha B'Av occurs. There's no such thing today as Shavua Shechalboi, because everything we are machmer not to do from Rosh Chodesh Av. Of course, we know that some other types of Yisurim, like cutting the hair, were naig not to do during the entire 3 weeks between Shivasa Batamas and Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says the Avelos of Tisha B'Av is more kal than the Avelos for a parent, since it is Avelos de Rabim versus Avelos de Yachid, and it is historical versus recent, the Mishnah. It is mutter for one brother to be miyabim several Yavamas of different brothers, but it is also to take two wives of the same brother. Daf Mem Dalet, the Gemara. In a situation of Yibum, Beis Din evaluates the situation, and if they feel the potential marriage is unworkable, for example, he's 15 years old and she is 65 years old, then they advise him against doing Yibum. They only allow him to marry multiple women if he has the ability to support them, and in general, they advise against this because of Oina. If one woman that falls to him is Kosher LeKahuna, and one is Pasul LeKahuna, and he's going to make Chalitza anyways, he should give chalitza to the one who is pasul kahuna, since if he gives chalitza to the one who is kosher, he pasuls her from ever marrying a kayin, since we know grusha v'chalutza are asura l'kayin. And Rabbi says, lo yishpaich adam mei bayre v'acherim tzrichim lahem. A person should not pour water from a pit, out into the street where it's not drinkable anymore if other people need it. So it's the same thing here. Why should he do chalitza to the woman who is kosher l'kayin and make her pasul l'kayin, when he can do the chalitza of the woman who's already asur l'kayin?